G'day folks, welcome to Stick With It, APA's podcast for its pilots.
We're back with more podcast episodes in 2023. Joining me today is APA President Tony Lucas to basically have a bit of a discussion about where APA is going this year and some of the issues that we'll be tackling. Welcome, Tony.
G'day, Mark.
So everyone's had a bit of a break, but we've obviously still been pretty busy over the break. And I guess I want to get a bit of an idea from you as to exactly sort of what's on the agenda for this year. So I know one of the things later in the year is the EAs, so in terms of renegotiation. So can you give us a bit of an idea, I guess, more around the timeline associated with those things and how the members can be involved in helping us prepare for those EAs?
Yeah, well, look, there's a couple of EAs running at the moment. Eastern Australian Airlines is running and Network is running, and those teams are up and going and well supported by our legal team. Mm-hmm. For mainline pilots, of course, the big things on our radar is the short-haul enterprise agreement. It expires at the end of August, and we will look at putting a team together very shortly. The big thing for the membership, though, is that we'll have a survey out to the members probably March or early April or so, and it's really important that we get as much feedback as possible from our short-haul pilots as the sorts of things that they, or their input into that survey and the sorts of things that will guide our negotiating team.
That sounds really good. Now, in terms of within the office, I know that for many of our members, they don't actually get to see what happens in the office, but our legal team has been sort of increasing the number of people in it. Can you tell us a bit about that? And also maybe a bit about how best the members can go about contacting our legal team to get the best outcome.
Yeah, look, our legal team has increased in size. When our executive director, Philip Vandenhever, left at the end of last year, we were down to three. We recruited an industrial officer shortly after that. That took us to four, and we're recruiting another senior in-house lawyer to place the workload that Philip did. And we've also employed what we've called a senior strategy and policy officer, and they'll be essentially our professional negotiator. They'll drive our enterprise agreements, our mainline enterprise agreements, assisted by the lawyers amongst the legal team also. So, yeah, we'll end up with a legal team now of six. So we're really pleased to be able to increase our capability there. It means that we'll be able to respond to our member inquiries much more quickly and, yeah, hopefully get back to those member inquiries within a better time frame than probably has been the case over the last 12 months or so.
And look, just speaking to the lawyers, I think one of the things for them as a message to our members is that we understand that you're still dealing with issues, everything from pay issues to other, a variety of issues with the company. One of the things we just wanted to mention is that in a perfect world, to get your issue dealt with as efficiently as possible, our lawyers need you to basically go back to the company and work through the process of be it contacting your base manager or contacting People Connect, so that at least you can get a response from them. If you're then still unsatisfied with that response, if you then bring that to our legal team, they're much better placed to be able to efficiently deal with your issue, because realistically the first thing they're going to do is ask, have you done that? And if you haven't, then we need to chase that up. So just a reminder for our members that, as Tony said, we've got a very capable legal team, but the first step that you need to do is chase it up yourself with the company. And then if you're still unsatisfied, that's when you then make contact with us.
Yeah, that's very true, Hoff. And in my own personal example, I had recently had a pay discrepancy. And so my first thing to do was to actually go back and query that through People Services and get a result from them or an answer from them. And then if that's not satisfactorily concluded, or if there becomes an issue of a difference in interpretation about how many hours people are due or so on, then that's something that then legal steps in. But it's really important first that for almost all issues that a pilot might deal with, the first response needs to be to deal with Qantas first, or to deal with your respective entity first. And then after that, if you haven't been able to get a satisfactory result out of that, that's where APA Legal can come in and really drill down into those issues and provide our members with the best advice possible.
Okay. Now, I know APA ran a couple of webinar chats with the second officer cohort in particular last year regarding the 380 issue that's bubbling away. If we've got other members listening that might be interested, are you able to provide a bit of an update as to what's going on with the 380?
Yeah, so Hoff, that's the dispute that we've got with Qantas at the moment about Qantas wanting to recruit new pilots direct to the A380 and Qantas's belief that APA is unreasonably withholding approval. We raised that with the Fair Work Commission last year. That went back and forth at some conciliation meetings. That was unsuccessful, and now it's going to arbitration. The arbitration process means that APA submits our evidence, and that was done in mid-January. Qantas has 4 weeks to look at that evidence and then provide a response. And then APA has a couple of weeks to review Qantas's response and then submit our final evidence. And that's scheduled for late February, early March, and then hearings are set down for mid-March. In terms of the legal back and forward, it's probably best that we not go into that, given it is before the courts. But needless to say, from an APA perspective, what we want to make sure is that the interests of our members are protected. We know that there are at least 60 eligible pilots that have got bids in to go to the A380. We'd like those bids to be honoured, ideally. And if they are unable to be honoured, then at least that those members wouldn't be out of pocket financially as if they had gone to the 380. And so something that looks like the bypass principles is what we've put forward to Qantas.
Now, the other thing, obviously, late last year we ran the engagement survey and we're washing through that at the moment. Is there anything from that you wanted to, sort of mention to the members in terms of what, you know, some initial steps we might be taking and also some of the longer-term issues?
Yeah, sure. I think a few of the things that popped up in the survey, there was a concern from the members that they weren't hearing back from APA if they had raised a query. We've looked at some of our internal processes and we're looking at adjusting some of those so that if you do email our contact email addresses, that you should always get a ping back email to say that your email has been received. But really, for our membership, the best way to get hold of APA and to make sure that your query is logged and then tracked and then followed up on is by contacting us at our email addresses.
Yeah, and when, just as a heads up on that, we're in the process of, as Tony said, reviewing that, and there'll be more information coming out soon about a bespoke email address as well as the website so that, yeah, as I said, people can be confident that we've received it and then also just managing your expectations in terms of when you'll get a reply. Any other feedback that came out of the engagement survey, Tony?
Yeah, well, I think one of the pleasing things, Hoff, was actually the feedback that the podcast got. And so we appreciate that. I think from a standing start, I think we've delivered a pretty good thing with the podcast, and well done to you for the time, effort and energy I know that you put into each of them. We'll look at giving Hoff a few more technical support in terms of some better equipment, so hopefully it improves the sound quality and makes it a bit easier to deliver these things more regularly.
Now, one of the other things, obviously, we're alluding to, and we're in the process of literally locking in some dates for the listening tour. Again, can you, I guess, give our members an idea of why they should be coming if they can make themselves available? What's the benefit of coming to that event?
Yeah, look, I think there's a couple of things there. One, it enables APA, the COM, and the executives that are attending those listening tour meetings to get unfiltered information from the membership. There are things also, too, that are easier to say at a face-to-face meeting, then perhaps we may not be able to put quite so easily on paper via insights. So I think it's a good forum for us to be able to talk directly to the pilots in a much more candid way, and also for the pilots to be able to talk to us in a really candid way also, and to get direct one-on-one feedback. Certainly looking forward to getting out into some of the other bases as well. One of the criticisms of Qantas generally, and probably APA at times as well, is a bit Sydney-centric. So I'm looking forward to getting across to Western Australia and South Australia, which are, you know, some of our smaller bases, and to hear what our members across there have to say. So when those dates come out, we're really looking forward to catching up with you all and sharing a beer.
That sounds good. And as I said, those dates will be coming out shortly. We're literally just coordinating some roster issues so we can make sure that we've got as many APA members there to, and also committee members there so that we can have that full and frank discussion between us. So that'll be great. Now, Tony, I know that obviously another thing we're trying to do is be a bit more active in the media space in terms of promoting APA as the preeminent pilots union in Australia. An issue that's obviously been bubbling away since last November is the single pilot flying, and I know APA's been getting quite a bit of coverage on that. Can you talk a bit about, I guess, where the coverage has been and your sort of thoughts on how we as an association need to deal with this potential threat?
Yeah, look, I think we've done pretty well in that space. Airbus have been chipping away at this single pilot and enhanced, if I can put that in inverted commas, minimum crew operations for quite a while now. And clearly it's been driven not necessarily by improving its safety, but by a global pilot shortage and cost. So I think we need to respond to this every time it raises its head. We need to play whack-a-mole and we need to respond really assertively to remind people that the best safety system on an aeroplane is two well-trained and well-rested pilots at the controls at all times. This is something that we're going to keep talking about because it's a significant risk. I'm sure we've all felt how tired we are doing Jakarta, Sydney to crew. It's something that we can't run silent on. It's clear that the manufacturers are going to keep pursuing this, and it's clear that there are going to be some airlines who are going to be far more focused on the cost and be looking with glee at the potential of cutting down on their crew numbers. Whereas from our perspective, we need to absolutely zero in on the safety case and keep reminding the travelling public of the importance of and the significance of having two well-trained and well-rested pilots on the flight deck. That is the best safety system that exists, and we need to ensure that we keep pushing our point of view in that space.
Yeah, and I think I'd add to that, the good news is, having been involved with Tony and talking to the media, that the public are well and truly on our side. There's been polls running at, probably 97% of people wouldn't get on those aeroplanes. So, I think the public are definitely with us. It's commercially not viable at this stage, but we need to keep our foot on the accelerator. And that's something that at APA we're committed to doing in the media space. And I think the media are starting to embrace our capacity to talk to them about that. Is there anything else you wanted to mention, Tony, just before we finish up today?
Yeah, I think one of the important things that I've realised since becoming the APA president is how important it is for us as a membership to be united in what we're trying to achieve. That doesn't mean that we're all going to necessarily agree all the time. We certainly don't agree all the time with Qantas on various issues, but I think it's really important as a membership that we are engaging as an association, that you're engaging with us as an association, that we're engaging with you, that you feel like we're supporting you and that you're fully informed in things. That doesn't mean that we're always going to agree on the pathway forward. Sometimes the pathway forward isn't legally a realistic one. Sometimes the membership may not agree that a particular outcome is great, but one of the things you can be always confident in is that APA will always be pushing very hard for the best outcome that we can get for our members as well. So one of the things I'd encourage our membership to do is to, when you fly with people, ask them if they're an APA member, encourage them to be involved. In some respects, it's up to our membership to keep reminding those that may not be members of the benefits of being an APA member and the benefits that our association membership can bring with it, not just in terms of our legal cover, not just in terms of the rostering systems that we might provide, but just in the fact that a real strength and unity of purpose can deliver outcomes and deliver us a stronger position when it does come to negotiate our enterprise agreements.
That's all we've got for you today. We'll be back with another episode soon. In the meantime, fly safe and stick with it.